Before we get to tonight's Survivor Know-It-All, I want to take a moment and mention our RHAP link for Amazon.com as we head into this holiday shopping weekend. Right, Anthony?
Yeah.
Now, Amazon, of course, has everything you need. Anthony, what are some things you like to buy on Amazon?
Nothing.
Nothing? No, they have everything. And check out all of the Black Friday and Cyber Monday weekend deals. What are some things you want for Christmas?
A ladybug book.
A ladybug book?
Yeah.
That's very specific. Why do you need a ladybug book?
To read.
Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense.
They also want incredible toys.
Don't we have enough incredible toys?
But we don't have Frozen and Wyatt.
I guess so. All right. Well, we'll ask Santa, and then we'll also check out Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. That's Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. That's our affiliate link. We get a small commission with every purchase that you make, and you never pay any extra. Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. Or you can find our banners or link to the RHAP Amazon store at robhasawebsite.com. Rob has a podcast. Rob has a website.com.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game. At all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls. Steve and Rob went out and down. Got the game all figured out. They know it all.
Yes, that is a right, Thanksgiving Eve, and we have so much to be thankful for tonight, Stephen Fishback.
Oh my gosh, another incredible Survivor episode in this incredible Survivor season. I mean, no weak links pretty much so far in the season, in the cast, in podcasting about it with you. Every part of it has been stellar.
Bing!
Bing! Is that... That was the highlight of the whole thing for me.
Yes, yes. I heard that was Carl giving homage to the RHAP bell.
Oh, I thought it was like his preferred search engine. Like yeah. when I go look up Dan later.
He looked up how to play the Idle Nullifier. Like, how do you do this? So let me look it up on Bing.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Bing. Carl Boudreau. Steven, how are you? Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Oh, happy Thanksgiving Eve to you. As you can see, I am in Washington, D.C. at my wife.
How can I see that?
Well, I mean, you can see that I'm not where I typically am. And you can see the beautiful White House in the background. And there's our president. Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I guess he's in
Florida. Say no more. Steven Fishback, so much to talk about here tonight as another big advantage, actually a pair of advantages, looms large at the Tribal Council. Another Goliath goes home. We're down to 5-5 in the numbers and so much to break down here with you guys live on the night before Thanksgiving here in the United States of America. #RHAP to get your questions into the show. And we will take them as many as we can, mostly the good ones, here in this hour with the knowingest know-it-all, Stephen Fishback.
Am I still? We got to put it on the line, Rob.
Okay. At some point, we will work on that. So much going on, of course. Our exit interview with Dan, just a programming note, will come on Monday because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So you have to wait for the long holiday weekend for that. But we will still have some great podcasts coming up in the next couple of days. I will be reconnecting with the only two-time Survivor winner, the Queen, Sandra Diaz-Twine, will be my guest. I will talk to her on Friday, so hang in there till Friday when I talk to Sandra, and hopefully by Friday evening, we'll have that podcast out to you. And then over the weekend, I will be taking your feedback with me and Stephen. Stephen, what would be the correct grammar there?
I literally have no idea what your sentence is going to be.
A mutual friend of Stephen and I, Stephen and me?
Mine?
You're getting in my head. Sophie Clark will be on the podcast with me, with just me on over the weekend. So we'll check in with Sophie on our feedback show, and then the Wiggle Room coming on Monday. So jam-packed show as we head into a double episode next week, Stephen.
Oh, is that right? Bing. Oh, wow. So extra long episode. That's going to be great. That's exciting. We need a double episode. It's time. Like, I can't stand waiting week to week to see another tribal council. I need two back to back.
Okay, so we'll get two back to back coming up next week. But let's talk about this one tonight. So much to go over. Steven, so poor Dan,
oh,
really, not sure what he could have done here.
No, you got to give credit to Dan. Like, he had the perfect read. In spite of the fake out with the vote steal, which we should talk about later, because I have I had a wild swing in my perception of that vote steal fake out. In spite of the fake out with the vote steal, Dan correctly reads that he is very likely the target, plays his idol for himself, and goes home anyway. The hoist by an advantage that he really never could have predicted. It has never been in the game before. So no fault of Dan's here, right? Dan did everything right, and can't blame the guy.
Right. You know, I think that Dan took this pretty well. I think I would have been a lot more mad than Dan was, because I think I would have sat there and said, well, Jeff, look, I'm not going home tonight. I got to play my idol. It's like you're at the poker table. It's like, okay, all right, I've got four aces. I've won this hand. It's like, well, actually, he has a special card that nullifies. Like, what? What are you talking about? I have an idol. I can't go home.
I would be pretty salty, but there's almost like a level of that, which is like, well, like I did literally everything right. I was correct. Mm-hmm. I played the right way and there was nothing I could do about this. So I do think there's an element of when that happens to people, often they're like more complacent with how it goes down. I remember Sierra in Cambodia, like she got idled out. She was like, well, nothing I could do.
Wham, bam, Kobayashi Maru.
Yeah, really. That's it. The unwinnable situation. So, the only correct answer is to not play, as they say.
But let's take this from the David side first. And boy, the tide has really shifted where the Davids have all the momentum, all the leverage, and they come away and take another Goliath off the board and get the numbers down to 5-5. And so impressive night, certainly very dramatic, epic TV moment. But Stephen, did the Davids need to play two advantages at this tribal council to take a Goliath out of the game?
So there's two thoughts about this, right? The first thought is like, does Nick need to play his vote steal, right? So the way that the votes, so the Davids have been in talks with the Goliaths, and they think that maybe Alec and Allison and Kara are debating flipping over to their side and voting against the Goliaths. You know, whether they're voting against Dan or whether they're splitting the vote and voting against Angelina remains to be seen. Then they go see all of the Goliaths off talking to each other. We have a confessional from Allison where she says, I've realized I shouldn't flip my vote. I should stay Goliath strong. And so it looks right before tribal council like the Davids really do need to play the steal a vote. Now, the votes come in, so the Davids do play, right? Nick plays to steal a vote. The votes come in, and it turned out that theoretically Nick didn't need to play it because it was I think the five Davids voting for Dan. There were then, I guess what was it?
There
four
were
Goliaths.
So there were three votes for Christian,
and then two for Angelina.
And then there were two votes for Angelina, and those two Angelina votes were Alec and Kara. And I think we can potentially presume that Allison would have also been a third vote for Angelina.
Well, there's two things I want to say about Nick's play, which is that first of all, you can never be totally certain. So even if Kara and Alec,
even if you have the vote steal, you can't be 100% confident, Stephen.
Oh no! But I'm saying like he couldn't not play. Your question was like, did Nick need to play the vote steal? Given that Alec and Kara voted right, that was your question.
It was just kind of a joke.
It was a joke. I'm sorry. I'm trying to talk strategy here, but if you want to spend the time just like humiliating me, Rob, that's he didn't theoretically need to, but like there's two things. Like first, obviously you don't know for sure where the Goliaths are going to vote, whether or not they're actually going to vote with, you know, whether or not they're actually going to vote together, mm-hmm. or whether they're not going to split. The other thing is, it's really possible that after Nick played his vote steal, that Alec and Kara called an audible and were like, oh, he's got the vote steal. They've got the numbers. Let's vote with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're going to put the votes on Angelina. So here's what I thought was really curious. The Nick vote steal, he stole the vote from Allison,
right?
But then they voted for Dan, or they voted for Dan and then used the idol nullifier on Dan.
Yes.
So I guess I was confused about so if maybe Carl and Nick didn't coordinate this, but if you're going to use the idol nullifier on Dan anyway, why not steal Dan's vote? Because why leave in a person in the game that you have stolen their vote from? Because Allison's got to go back to camp now and be annoyed, like, hey, why'd you steal my vote?
Yeah, it's definitely a mistake. It's definitely a mistake. And I think, like, the idea of the fake out vote steal is very compelling. I mean, I certainly, before my Joe thing, had intended to do a fake out vote steal. But I think is intriguing. And maybe, like, Nick got caught up in, like, the fun of the fake out, but I totally agree with you that the correct move here was 100% to take Dan's vote. You only do the fake out vote steal if you're trying to not get an idol to be played. And if you want the idol to be played, or don't care either way if the idol is played, then just go steal the guy's vote. You've got the idol nullifier.
Yeah, because the thing about the vote steal is, like, oh, they're stealing my vote. They must be trying to vote me out tonight. So, you know, if you're Joe in second chances, like, oh, if I have an idol, I gotta play it. They're trying to steal my vote. They're trying to vote me out. So it's possible that maybe Nick and Carl didn't coordinate this, but this seems very unlikely considering that we've seen all the Davids coordinating about their advantages.
Yeah, and that was such a cool scene, wasn't it? When all the Davids sat down and were like, and I've got this, and I've got this.
Yeah.
Like, every David except Gabby has had some crazy superpower.
They're like the Avengers.
I was thinking Captain Planet, you know, with all their powers combined.
Well, each of their things would work separately. I'm not sure if Captain Planet worked that way, but let's not.
No, they can. They can still control Earth. He can still do Earth stuff, you know, heart. I'll move hearts.
Okay, well, let's not go too far off of the beaten path. So, any logic to why Allison, or just a complete decoy?
I don't know. I mean, my guess would be, yeah, I mean, he's not going to take Mike's, right? Because Mike is his ally. Maybe Angelina. I don't know. Yeah, why not Angelina? That's a good question.
I kind of feel like that the move could have been just, okay, steal Dan's vote. And then just vote out Allison, right? I mean, that was there a big danger of detection that they felt like? I mean, I guess that this was the sure thing. So this was, there was no percent chance that this plan would fail. But I feel like that there was still a very strong chance that you could have just stolen Dan's vote and then voted out Allison.
I think with a crucial move like this, you go for the sure thing. You go for the steal the, like, vote out the guy for whom you play the idol nullifier. Like, this is a defining vote in the game. You know, the Davids are evening up the numbers. You know, next week, this will be the first time all game since day one that these guys have had an even, you know, been even with the Goliaths in the game. And even maybe a little bit ahead since Christian has the only idol that's left.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, you don't allow any margin of error here. You know, you steal the vote. I mean, the only, I do think it was a mistake to steal Allison's vote rather than Dan's vote, but 100% you play the idol nullifier on the guy you want to be sent home. And kudos to Carl. You know, I think we can question Christian's move a little bit, but you certainly can't question Carl's decision.
Christian's
to play
move or Nick's?
I'm sorry, Nick's move a little bit, but you can't question Carl's move.
Okay. I feel like it was a little overkill to use two advantages tonight when you probably, you know, 99 times out of 100, I think, could have gotten away with it.
Well, what do you think they should have done?
Steal Dan's vote and vote out Allison or Kara.
The thing about the idol nullifier is it's, like, so situational. Like, to have an opportunity, and here's why I really like that, why Carl did it tonight, is, like, to have an opportunity. A, where you know where the votes are going. B, you have the chance to truly nullify an idol. And, you know, there is a real danger of an idol, and there's a real good chance the guy could play it. And then three, it's a crucial vote in the game. I mean, if Carl does get to the end, this is a huge resume play. Like, I played the idle nullifier Bing at the crucial vote.
Well, yeah, don't think that it went unnoticed that, you know, Carl now like holding up the receipt. Bing, yeah, like, good, it was me. I did it, everybody.
I mean, if I'm Dan, I'm a little bit annoyed at that, but bingo. I think that, you know, like, good. He's like posturing for the jury, you know? That's also why I think, like, even if you could have finessed the move so that you didn't have to, I think, you know, they definitely need the vote steal. And then I really think it was the right decision for Carl to play that nullifier just for the resume building here.
Mm-hmm. So I felt this is something that was annoying me during the tribal council. And I felt like that this was sort of like a disingenuous argument where I felt like the David's gotten a little bit on a high horse talking about, like, hey, we want to work with the Goliaths and they then keep trying to vote us out. We keep saying, hey, work with us. And we make plans with them. And then they just go back and they try to vote us out because they have the numbers. And, you know, the two sides here, like, it's like the David's plan is, okay, good. You work with us. Help us vote out the other Goliaths. Like, it's not like that they're saying, like, hey, vote with us and come vote with us and vote out Carl. It's like the plan is, hey, vote with us and vote out Angelina. So it's sort of like I think that these Goliaths are right in, like, no, we should stick with our numbers, because what are we going to do? Help pick off our side and then we'll get picked off.
Oh, I agree and I disagree with you, Rob. First of all, I think I agree that the Goliaths are right, that in general, you know, like Mike White says, if we go to the Davids, we are basically screwing all of ourselves over. Like, if we let them take control of this game, that's it. We still have the numbers here, you know, and it's still an even match, right? But, like, the Goliaths are fracturing in this way. But at the same time, you know, there were these three Davids who made this deal with the Goliaths. They truly under good, you know, they made this strike force together. Mm-hmm. They, in good faith, voted off Elizabeth, right? They voted off one of their own. And then were immediately turned on by these Goliaths. So it was like the Davids did, in good faith, plan to work with the Goliaths to kind of bounce back and forth between the groups. The Goliaths, after having used them for one vote, then immediately went against that.
Yeah. Thinking back to this, though, Stephen, that I feel like that, you know, what could the Goliaths have done tonight? And I kind of feel like that it was interesting that the strike force was revisited to some degree, but without Mike, where then Kara came around and tried to replace Mike White in the strike force with Allison and Alec. And I really kind of feel like that it would have been in the best interest to potentially for those players that were involved in, you know, either version of the strike force to see it through and then go back to working with the Davids and potentially vote out a couple of people from the Goliaths and then move forward with that group and then potentially, hopefully, would have the jump on getting rid of the other Davids.
But it seems like the Davids have been brought so close together in the last couple of weeks. And I think, you know, now the Goliaths have so much less leverage with that group. I mean, to have that kind of meeting like they did in this episode where they're all sharing their greatest secrets, like, that's a lot of trust. And again, I want to go back to Davy's move last episode, which was such a clutch maneuver, mm-hmm. right? Davy, you know, so many people in Davy's situation would have held on to that idol for themselves. It's not me. I just need to get myself further in the game. I'll play it later in the game. And the fact that Davy made that play and gave the Davids a chance to this week, then use the vote steal, then use the idle nullifier to even the numbers, and just the trust that it built, right? Him playing that idol for Christian, the way that it clearly built trust with everyone, it was clearly potentially a definitional moment in the season, in that, like, this group of Davids who didn't seem to necessarily be cohesive, you know, we had Nick, Gabby and Christian off, ready to vote off, you know, their other Davids. Now that's a really tightly functioning group. So I wonder if the Goliaths have missed the boat, as Allison said.
Yeah. Going back to last week's episode, it really does feel like that Mike White really did screw this up by deciding to abandon the strike force and go back with the Goliaths, because I'm not really sure that he had a niche in the Goliaths. It did feel like that he was higher in the pecking order with the strike force, unless there's something that I'm missing in terms of, like, where he was going to end up in the pecking order of the seven Goliaths.
It's so interesting, like how Mike, who basically he came up with the idea, right, of the Strike Force. He was the
I
one
would
who
say
was
Alec
like,
was the architect of the Strike Force, but you know, he was
Alec was the one hustling. Well, yeah, but Mike was right there. He was right one of the there. First people who was like, we need to like work with the Davids. Let's cross tribal lines. Mm-hmm. And then like 3 days later, he's like, nah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, you know, like, I'm too still threatening. We got to yeah. move on this. But I think that had that group stuck together, you know, I think that they would be sort of in this power position right now.
Totally, totally. And it is interesting. I mean, on the one hand, I do side with Mike that, you know, you don't want to like, I mean, clearly the Goliaths are doing everything wrong, right? They started to side with the Davids mm-hmm. and they went back on that, which was fine. Going back on that was fine. They still had the numbers, but then for them to immediately fall apart in this way. And then, you know, for Alec and Kara to vote for Angelina, Goliaths are done, right? Yeah. Like Angelina is not going to work with them after this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it for the Goliaths.
Yeah. Talk this through with me, Stephen. Why would Alec and Kara vote for Angelina on this vote?
Right. I mean, I do think there's a chance. I think there's a very good chance that it was an audible when they saw where the votes were going. They're like, we don't want to be on the wrong side of this vote. The Davids are about to seize control of this game. Like, let's make our move now. You know, there's an element to which obviously Kara wants to vote out Dan just to sort of free her own game from under his, like get out of his shadow a little bit, which I can kind of understand. You know, normally I am very much like stick with your alliance, but if you don't have a path to the end with your alliance, or if you don't have a path to win with your alliance, you do sort of have to jump the gun a little bit. Like it's either I coast to the end as like Dan's right hand. What do you think about it from Karen Alex's perspective?
So there was some talk earlier in the episode about working with the Davids and potentially splitting the votes between Angelina and Dan. And I don't know if they maybe tried to retroactively act like, oh, we were on board with that plan the whole time. And maybe once all the advantages yeah. started coming up, maybe that was the case. And we don't know necessarily what Allison was going to do. I feel for Allison also because she seems like that she's in the position where. And this is never a good position to be in. The person who's like in search of the big move at this point, like she's like, boy, I realize I need something. I need to find it somewhere. And I felt like this was Allison's worst night of the season.
Yeah, although I did like the epiphany she came to, which was, you know what, maybe I just need to like wait and go with the flow. Like yeah. she even had that, like, I've been trying hard to like do something just to do something, but like, that's a little premature. And like, this is the final 11. It's not the final six or the final seven. Like the final 11 in Token Chains was before the merge. You know, like we just voted Spencer Doom out. You know, like there's still a lot of game left. You don't need to like make your defining mark on the season yet at this point. You just need to get a few more days further.
Yeah. I will have to give credit to Kara, who you have been higher on all throughout the course of the first eight episodes of the season. I thought this was her best night of the season, even though she ends up on the wrong adjacent side of this vote.
Jason, yeah, I thought it was good for her too, and she had that funny confessional when they came to her about like, actually, we're back. It's gonna be Christian again. And she's like, okay. It's mm-hmm. really annoying, but I guess it's Christian again.
Yeah. She took it so, well. She took it well. Like she didn't storm off. And I love the moment where she, like, Dan was like sulking about how the last vote went. And she's talking about like, Dan, I just think you're being really emotional about this. Right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Such a, yeah. Like, what, how could you say that? I was like, yeah, you're just being like a real, like, you just stop being so emotional about it. Being like a real baby.
Yeah, that was great. That was really great. And do you think this is right for her? So let's talk this through. All right, let's forget about the nullifier, forget about the advantage. You're Kara in this position. You know, the vote, your Goliath majority still has the numbers here, but you do worry that there's, you know, Dan might be kind of keeping, you know, overshadowing your own opportunities to play the game. Mm-hmm. Do you consider flipping here, or do you think like, hey, let's vote off these Davids. Let's get to all their seven Goliaths, and then I can make a big move.
It does feel like that the Goliaths that are at the bottom are looking for a foothold in terms of like, hey, I need to do something. I can't just coast to the end. And I'm not sure necessarily, you know, whether that has been something that's just sort of like in the ether and sort of like conversations they're having, or something that's sort of been beaten into them from watching the show. But if they just coast to the end, they won't win. So everybody is sort of looking for their defining, you know, move or swing to make in the game.
I just think you gotta, you know, wait, just wait a little bit. Make your big, like, like do the, I mean, it's not as great TV wise, but like if the Goliaths did, it's certainly too late now. If the Goliaths had hung tough together, they really could have had a bigger, but I guess that's the difference between good players and bad players, right? Like you see that, like the good players are able to build stronger bonds and work well together and build trust and use that as a way to kind of bond alliances.
I mean, the Goliaths voted together last week. I mean, for the most part, it looked like they were prepared to vote together again this week. I mean, in terms of like, they've been on the same page in terms of voting.
Right.
They just have gotten very unlucky in terms of having, idols and advantages played against them. And I think that speaks to more of the information gap in terms of the disparity between that 2 weeks in a row we had last week, Alec Lee leaked about where the vote was going against Christian to Nick, who ended up telling Nick, which sent off a chain reaction, which ultimately resulted in Davey using his idol to save Christian. And then this week, you had Kara leaking to the other side, hey, just so you know, Dan has another idol.
Yeah. Do you think that was a mistake by Kara?
I mean, let's talk it through. If they don't know that Dan has the idol, they don't use the idol nullifier against Dan. So I guess it would have definitely changed things up. They would have had to, pick the right person to ultimately steal the vote from and then put the votes on. So had they still put the votes on Dan, then the Dan votes would have been canceled, and then it would have been 3 votes for Christian, and Christian would have gone home. So I think it would have made it, had they still voted for Dan, then yeah, it would have ultimately been, Goliaths would have won the night.
I do think it's a little premature for Kara to take out Dan. And I totally understand why she would want to, just, if she thinks like this, I'm like trapped in this alliance, I'm trapped on this course, I need to mix things up a little bit to give myself a chance to play. But if Dan is super loyal to her, why take out someone who is really loyal to you, who's going to be a huge target later on? And is quite frankly, like, he's not that great at the social parts of the game from what we've seen.
This was something I talked about on the Wendell podcast, where I felt like that, it's sort of like the next level thinking to me was, who cares about Dan? Who cares about Angelina? I'd rather leave them in the game. And if I'm the Davids, I'd rather take off these people that are sort of on the periphery in the Mikes and Alex and Allisons and Karas. To me, those are the players that I think are way more dangerous in terms of being threats that are ultimately going to go to the end and potentially, like, Dan is never hiding. We're always going to know what he's doing. We're always going to know what Angelina is doing. It's these other players that I would be worried about, where then, okay, we've left them around, and now maybe they could either get together or pull, get a David or two who feel like, oh, you're at the bottom of the Davids, and swing this thing back against me if I'm one of the shot callers in the Davids.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, why not go for Mike here, especially like Mike, who is really Goliath strong and is obviously a very, devious thinker and a really smart guy. The only thing I'll say about Kara and Alec and Allison, which I agree with you, like they're a little bit more slippery, is that they are the ones who are most willing to work with David. So to a certain degree, you want to get rid of people who don't want to work with you.
But that's why I think they're dangerous. And I think the reason why we end up with a consensus of, okay, it's either Dan or Angelina, when people like are talking about like relationships, those are the people that it's easy to get the 5 Davids on the same page about, that there's nobody when you say, hey, well, what about Mike? Maybe Nick is like, well, hold on, let's not be hasty. Mike's a good guy.
Exactly.
And when we talk about Allison, Gabby's like, well, I kind of like having Allison around. She's not bothering me. So you have the 2 people that have the least ties to the Davids being the target, but I think that that's also why they're the least dangerous people in terms of being threats.
Yeah, you're probably right. And that probably is something how like the conversation actually went, where like they were running through names and like, you just try to get a consensus name and probably nobody was sticking their neck out for Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only relationship we've seen him have is with Christian, and then
Christian,
that relationship has been severed. Alec wins immunity tonight, continuing, a strong run here for him, especially over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Alec, a great contestant.
Yeah. He's very pumped up.
No duds. Yeah. No duds. I mean, maybe there were some duds in the early part of the season. I can't even think of who it would be, though. But so far, this cast has been really stellar.
And Carl's been very quiet. I thought this was sort of a breakout night for Carl. I thought Carl was so smug after the vote steal. He was...
I loved it. But he also, like, I felt like he was not just being smug. I felt like he was, like, telegraphing, like, this was me. This was my move.
Oh, yeah. Certainly. Yeah. And he played the idle nullifier, not the vote steal. Yeah. All right. Anything else from this episode? I'm sure there's a bunch of things.
I mean, there's so much, but a lot of it was just the Goliaths crumbling, the Davids coming together. You know, Christian finds an idol. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, that was very fun. And I also, you know, we've talked a lot about the editing this season and how, you know, different and fresh it's been. And I felt like when misdirect. That segment's, yeah, that misdirect, I felt like, oh, all right, here we go. Davey's going to find the idol.
Yeah, and even Dave even has a quote like nobody finds idols like Davey Rickenbacker. Yeah,
that's my job, finding the idols. Yeah. And then I thought that was actually one of the more fun idol finds that we've had in terms of Christian breaking it down in terms of the different sectors on the island and how in his real life how he would handle that. So I thought that was very fun. And now just to update the advantage count right now, I believe that we have that Christian has an idol.
That's it.
That's it. We're down. Wow. I mean,
right?
A crazy
season. I can't think of it. Yeah.
Crazy season. Only advantage. Chat room, tell me if we're missing anything. But certainly we'll see another idol hidden next week.
And maybe they'll just like ship them to an island full of Advantage Island, where everybody gets an advantage.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like that the fans have a big leg up, though, in terms of finding. I know that Dan, not the biggest super fan ever, but he did find two this season. But I feel like that in terms of like, knowing that, OK, obviously, this is back out there and knowing where to look. I think it is a really big leg up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's for sure. I mean, Gabby. Although she didn't actually find it, knowing that the merge tree was significant, that sort of thing is really useful.
Okay. All right, Stephen, I want to get into your questions, not Stephen's questions, but the listeners' questions with Stephen. But first, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor. And this is one I'm excited to talk about here. Stephen, I know how you love the escape room.
Yeah, I do love escape rooms.
You're a fan.
Some good ones.
But the thing about the escape room is you have to have friends, you have to go out, you have to go. Not anymore, because I want to talk about a subscription box called the Hunt a Killer subscription box. And it's cool, because what they do is they send you all the ingredients you need to be able to have the escape room experience in the comfort of your own home. They sent me the box to give it a shot. Everything you need here is in the box. Oh. Every month, you'll receive the next chapter in the game. You are on the hunt for a serial killer, and it's really cool that there is like you get there's a bunch of like papers and files in here of different stuff, but like there's real props. This is like the hidden immunity necklace. I got like a pocket watch here, like a notebook, all these clues and different things that you have to look up, a file folder with like a dossier on this guy that I'm looking for, and all these records, and I got like a newspaper clippings, and it's a really, really fun thing if you guys are into that sort of experience. Every month you get your new chapter in the Hunt a Killer game. It's very, very fun. You're looking for a fictional serial killer who will be sending you cryptic clues, objects, and letters that you can actually use to solve the crime in real time, Steven.
I like that you specify that it's fictional. Like, you're not actually going to be killed here.
Certainly not. Certainly not.
But this sounds amazing. Like, so do you play like by yourself or with a wife perhaps?
So here's where I got stalled. My wife was like, "Oh, that looks really fun. I want to do it." And then that we have not been able to. Now it's like when you're like DVRing a show and your significant other is like,
spouse.
"Oh, I want to watch that." Yeah. I'm like, wow, okay. But I'm just going to go.
I know people who I could get this for. This is fantastic. Yeah. Can you give me the promo code?
Certainly. Yeah. It's a lot of fun. Over 60,000 people have joined the Hunt a Killer online community, and they have over 1,000 five-star customer reviews. Great to play solo or on a date night or a game night with friends, so you can exchange your theories. Right now, for our listeners, you can go to huntakiller.com/rob for 10% off the first box. They only accept 200 members per day, so hurry up and take advantage of the offer. That's at huntakiller.com/rob. Rob for 10% off your first box at huntakiller.com/Rob. See if you have what it takes to get in the mind of a serial killer and solve the mystery. And since we profile reality TV stars, so we're actually probably very well-equipped to be able to catch a serial killer.
A lot of crazy people.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We've been studying them for years.
I feel like our listeners are probably a lot of strategic thinkers. It's like probably a lot of puzzlers. I feel like this is a good synergy. Yeah,
I think it's a good fit. I was happy to have them on the show. All right, Stephen, yeah. Let's get into some questions. Let's start with question number one. Stephen, you want to take this one?
Yeah, well, I'll nullify a return to the game this season again. What do you think, Rob?
I don't think it will. I think this was one and done. They used it. It nullified an idol. And I think that will be it until Survivor 39. I guess my bigger question for you is, will we see it again in a future season? Will Survivor 39 and 40 contestants be dealing with the idol nullifier?
I think this was, we talked about how So, sometimes you get an advantage that has its perfect play. This was the perfect play for the idol nullifier. It was played at a crucial moment, at a key vote. It was a defining moment. I 100% think that based on this, that the idol nullifier will come back. What do you think?
I agree. I think we will see the idol nullifier come back. Now, does it create, in terms of thinking next level, if you are a season 39 survivor contestant, what is your strategy in terms of dealing with the idol nullifier? Do you think that this will make players less likely to share information about having an idol and when they will play the idol?
I was going to say that. I think with the possibility of an idol nullifier, it becomes almost insane to share. I mean, we've talked about the merits of sharing idols versus not sharing idols a lot. I used to be a big proponent of the idea that the idol was more useful as a tool to build an alliance than as a one-off opportunity to save yourself. It seems like over time, as the sort of alliance structures of the game have dissolved, that people become targets faster with idols, and therefore it becomes more dangerous to have an idol. And I think this even ups that danger. So I think this definitely moves the bar away from share and towards don't share.
Yeah, but just like you were saying earlier in the show about how the sharing of all the advantage information is what has bonded the Davids together. So yeah. I think that actually your first theory is more true than ever in some ways.
Yeah, it's so situational. It really is true. And so much of it is position, right? And I do think some of it is maybe the fact that the Davids are so aggressively the underdogs, and maybe even partially the fact that they're called the Davids. Mm-hmm. They're basically called the underdogs. They are so predisposed to work together in this situation. I wrote a little bit about my blog about how it's almost easier to play from an underdog position than it is to play from a dominant position, just because you've got nothing to lose. We have to band together. We have to throw our bombs. We have to make our big plays, because otherwise we're just going to get picked off. Whereas when you're in the dominant position, you're like, well, you see these questions that Kara and Allison are asking. It's, well, when do I make my move? Am I getting overshadowed by Dan? What's my jury, speech going to be like? How do I bring in the Davids without bringing them in too much? And I think those questions are actually somewhat harder to answer than the questions that you have. Obviously there's great advantages to being in the top two. Mm-hmm. Having the numbers is great too, but I think it may be a little bit harder.
If you had to, do you have one Goliath that you feel like is the most likely to win?
Well, Kara.
You feel Kara is the most likely Goliath?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
She's got great... I'll make my case okay. For Kara. Nobody is worried about her, right? No one is threatened by Kara. She's on nobody's radar, in the way that Angelina is on people's radar, in the way that people might feel betrayed by Mike. Alec is a big immunity threat. And so that sort of leaves Kara and Allison. I think that Kara is, we've seen so many people talk about how charming she is. We've seen her establish bonds with, Elizabeth. Obviously, Elizabeth is out of the game. We saw her sort of bond with Davey. The thing we've heard throughout is how charming she is. And I think her ability to kind of be in the background, but also be very charming, could really serve her well in a way where Allison, I don't see that as much, but so this is maybe those two would be my top two, but for me, definitely Kara's my number one. What do you think?
I would go Allison more so than Kara. I wonder if maybe we saw more of the culmination of Kara's story tonight in terms of the I am with Dan. We are a showmance. That they don't have a showmance. That the Kara has a strategy. Dan has a romance. I wonder if this might be closer to the end of the line for her than in terms of her story taking off from here.
I feel like we've consistently seen Kara as a strategic, charming person who's able to maneuver the game decently well. And so I think that the portrayal that I have seen of Kara is more likely to win than what I've seen of Allison, which is I think she's been shown to be a little bit wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. And I think she, you know, the only other thing we've seen is that she's considered, you know, has maybe a bond with Gabby. So I don't think we've seen enough of Allison to justify a perception of her strategic gameplay. I do think we've seen some of that from Kara.
This is a good Kara question that I'm going to ask you. So there's a moment at Tribal Council. Dan says to Kara, Kara's sitting in front of him, "Hey, should I play my idol on Allison?" And she whispers to him. What do you think she whispered to him? Do you think that she said, "Yes, you should do it"?
I bet if she said, "Yes, you should do it," that he might have actually died. I said, "No." I mean, I think he said, "Yeah, don't play the idol. Don't play the idol."
Maybe you think she said, "Don't play the idol."
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
I got to remember that. That's a good question to ask for the exit.
That is a good question.
See if he remembers it. But it's like sometimes stuff like that, people are like, "You know what? Honestly, I don't even remember that."
Yeah, it's probably something like that. I mean, probably he has no idea or she has no idea. I mean, he definitely leaves salty
towards her.
And that's actually a negative, right, for her, is that, you know, and part of why the Goliath made such a terrible move tonight, which, you know, was that Dan leaves probably really pissed at Alec and Kara. Mm-hmm. And especially Kara.
Yeah. Okay. Also, we talked about earlier this season at the Natalia vote, Kara did not seem to be that high on Alec. A lot of people had theorized that maybe they might end up getting closer as the season went along. They do seem to be on the same page at this point.
Yeah, it really seems. And yeah, and she's tight with Alec. She's tight with, it looks like she and Allison have a thing going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's take a question. This one is from the Chuck Parker. The Davids pull out two slingshots to take out the Goliath, and Jeff says nothing about the season's theme. I mean, I think we've kind of, you know, hit that note.
Can't do any more slingshot stuff. Like we have to hope we're past, unless the finale, until the finale, you know, when like there will definitely, if a David wins, there will definitely be some, at least one, if not 60 slingshot references. I hope we're past the slingshot.
Okay. All right. What does Trevor have to say?
All right. Trevor says, if Dan holds on to his other idol last week, could he have played his second idol after the first one was nullified? That's the question of the day, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if Dan holds on to his other idol, would he play the second? Yeah, that would have been good. That would have been good.
That would have been amazing. That would have been such a cool move. If anything, I'm more annoyed that that didn't get to happen. Like that, the fact that Dan played his idol for Angelina, it would have been so cool for him to do the double idol.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we can ever get that answer in terms of this season. It might be the kind of thing that we may have to wait. Jeff Probst did an interview with Dalton Ross a couple of weeks ago. He did an interview with Josh Wiggler this past week. I don't know if Jeff would get us the answer to that, or maybe it might have to wait until Josh is on location again. Maybe he can ask Matt Van Wagner the answer to that question of, could we see one player then pull out a second idol?
Yeah, that's the question.
Because what happened that Jeff said, okay, so Dan played his idol, and then Jeff said, okay, this is an idol nullifier, and then could Dan have, does that close the door on idols, or could Dan say, well, actually, let me go back in my bag, I've got another one?
I bet he could pull it off. My gut is that would fly. Like, idol nullifier nullifies an idol, right? So, and also there's just the drama of it, you know, just let it play, because that's like a really cool moment.
Okay. All right. Steven, what about this next question?
All right. Why did Alec and sorry, I can't see the my connection's not great.
Yeah, why did Alec and Kara vote for Angelina? Because they wanted to look like they weren't Goliath strong. Is that it?
I mean, either they were trying to prove trust with the Davids because they felt like this was the opportunity and this was their plan all along, or very possibly they saw the vote steal and they thought, let's jump ship now. You know, we've seen these people worry about getting left behind by the game. You know, certainly last week, Davey pulled out an idol and, you know, suddenly you feel like, oh my gosh, you know, where what's happening with our mixed up tribe? You know, Micah, that statement on the reward, we all hate each other, but let's try to stick together. So clearly this is not a high functioning group of people. They actively dislike each other. The Davids seem to like each other for the most part, you know? And then you had Allison expressing that fear. I don't want like some magic advantage being pulled and then suddenly we're just left behind by the game. So I've talked about this a little bit before, but I really do think one of the unacknowledged parts of Survivor is just pure momentum. Mm-hmm. That sense of momentum of like, these people have got heat. Like, let's go with them. Like, let's join them because they've got like the magic happening.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly you can relate to that from Token Sheens when you guys came into the merge down in the numbers, and then it was like everybody was falling over themselves to work with you guys.
And even like I was thinking after, you know, Wentworth played her idol. Well, Wentworth's position in the game didn't change at all, right? She had the same number of allies. She got rid of Savage. That was great. But like theoretically, like if you're just looking at the numbers, she hasn't changed her position at all. But like the next day, everyone wanted to talk to Wentworth. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, what's Wentworth doing? Like, let's see what she's up to. You know, so I just think that like that emotional momentum part of the game really drives people. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Adam was Allison the right person to steal a vote from? I would have gone with Angelina, someone who made their stance very clear against them. Yeah, that's the thing that I think is going to be a really interesting question to find out from, you know, why Allison of all people?
Yeah, I totally agree. I really think unless
it's also, is it like, is it where it's so next level where then is it like the galaxy brain thinking of, I want to work with Allison. So then I will throw everybody off the scent by I'll steal Allison's vote. And nobody will think that Allison is working with us because then we just stole her vote at the tribal council. And now Allison can jump in and work with the Davids.
Definitely not. That is definitely not it. There's no way that Allison would feel that way. That is like 100% not believable. I mean, why not Angelina? Well, Angelina was the other target, right? In case of so
quiet night for Angelina.
Yeah, really not for probably the least we've seen of Angelina in a long time.
Probably a good thing for her.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, I think that you never are just thinking of one idol. You're thinking like, what if there's 10 idols out there? So I think if Angelina was the other target, you would not necessarily steal her vote because you don't want her playing another idol in case, like just in case she has an idol.
Okay. All right. Let's take a question from James. Do you guys think now with the players knowing where to look for the idols on the island, the producers will come up with different locations ideas besides the challenges to hide immunity idols, making it more difficult to find more than one? I don't know. We've seen idols hidden in some different places. We had the merge idol. So Carl's Advantage was sort of a non-traditional idol find, but I don't think we're going to reinvent the wheel here 10 episodes into David versus Goliath.
Yeah, they want idols to be found. You know, idols are fun. They create opportunities to change the power dynamics of the game. So, you know, I don't think they would try to make it really obscure for someone.
Okay.
What do you think? You think you'll ever bring back hints? I really miss the hints, you know, like the mysterious clues.
Nick and Davey basically found a hint last week.
Right. But that was sort of like a map. But, but you know, like they used to have like hints that like every week they would become a little more clear.
Yeah, I guess so. That's sort of like a bunch of episodes leading up to one idol. I think in one episode, I mean, how many times do we want to see hints to the idol? I think that the show wants them in circulation. They want them to be played. They don't want to have a tribal council where there's no idol threat being talked about because it makes it a very open and shut case.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
This is a good question from Zach. Is it unfair that only a few players know of the existence of the nullifier in the game? How does this compare to the surprise fourth place fire making twist during Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers? So, Steven, should there be an argument where that if an idol nullifier is going to be in the game, should Jeff Probst at the start of the season on day one say, hey, everybody, guess what? This season, there will be an idol nullifier at some point.
I used to be very much in the camp of if an advantage exists that can do something, it is completely unfair for everyone not to know what the powers of that thing are. But I've really come around to the idea that life isn't fair, and Survivor in particular isn't fair. It's not a fair game. You know, there's like a lot of random stuff that happens. Twists happen. You know, new things enter the game. I think maybe it used to be like a more fair game back in the day when there was when there were fewer of these things. And it was probably more boring, too. You know, and I think, you know, the lack of fairness is just part of the DNA, unfortunately. You know, it's not a completely fair game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would it be more fair? Certainly. Would it be less fun in terms of the TV? Probably. So I think, you know, you're riding the balance, and I don't know if you're going to be able to really reverse that trend.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's someone like Dan, he's playing this game, right? There's so much luck and there's so much chance that goes into this game anyway, even in its very conception. You know, even from the idea of like who you're being cast with. Are you on a tribe with people who are like you, or are you not on a tribe with people who are like you? You know, do you have, you know, people who are you're going to be your friends, or are they all going to like hate you? And just the very core of that is a somewhat unfair premise. And you just have to kind of ride it out. You know, you try to minimize the risk and maximize, you know, all you can do is minimize the unfairness and minimize your own susceptibility and your risk, and then just accept what happens. Like Dan, like there's nothing he can do about this.
Okay. Let's do another two or three questions here with Stephen Fishback so he can get back to trimming the bird to get ready for tomorrow. Let's take this one from Tiffany. Does the nullifier work as a concept? I didn't love it when Ziggy used it on Australian Survivor, Australian Survivor season 2 spoiler, and I'm undecided on it here. Steven, I won't ask you to compare the usage, but did you like having the island nullifier here?
I liked it. I don't like the sense of like, I feel like in the last few seasons, it's been somewhat boring where people have just been like, well, I'm safe. Can't do anything against him. He's safe forever. They're safe forever. You know, we had that, certainly had that sense with Wendell and Dominic where they were just so, they had so much stuff, like so much hardware, right, that there was just nothing anyone could do. And it kind of really sapped the drama from the season. And I even felt a little bit with Ben, you know, as much as I enjoyed Ben's run, the fact that, like, oh, he's got another idol, like, that's it, I guess. You know, all these people who have played this game so hard for 36 days, like, too bad for them.
Yeah.
I didn't love that. So I like the existence of the idol nullifier. I like that it adds a little bit of complication to that. In terms of Survivor Australia, you know, Ziggy played to nullify, like Annalise's idol, I believe, right? Is that right?
I believe so, yes. Yeah. It was a little different. You just, then after she stands up to play it, you say, well, I've got the idol nullifier, so I'll sit back down.
I even like that, to be honest with you.
You like that? I mean, is that not like the Tyler Perry idol nullifier?
Yeah, but the difference from the Tyler Perry idol is that it's like you're overpowered. You don't even have to play the game because, you know, it doesn't matter where people are voting. The idol nullifier is like reduces that that superpower.
I like this version better because that, you know, you could miss the shot, you know, that we that you know, Dan has a shot here. Well, in terms of like playing the idol correctly, where, you know, that unfortunately for him, the votes were on him. But, you know, if it was the votes were on Angelina, he could have, you know, used. I guess there's nothing you could do. The votes are where the votes are, but the person could play it wrong.
Yeah, no, I guess I prefer this one. And it also, it creates more import. You can't just like hold on to it to the perfect situation. I guess that's what I like. I like people having to take a little bit of risk. Like I'm going to use it this time and hope. And obviously that creates a lot of kind of dud moments, you know. But here it was great. Here it was perfect.
Well, it was exciting tonight because it happened on where it was a swing from 5 to 6. I think that the best case scenario is where somebody is able to, you know, in the minority is able to, you know, nullify. Well, I guess this was the best case scenario, I should say, because
you could not ask for a better.
The worst case scenario is where it's, you know, the big majority is going to vote out that last person standing and they're like, well, like, I'm not going home tonight. Like, well, yeah, you actually are.
Yeah, right. That's the dud situation. But that hasn't been the trend so far. It hasn't really been what we've seen in the last. I mean, I guess there was, again, the Ben run. But I'm a fan of majorities. If you can keep an alliance together and build a strong alliance at the end, like, you deserve some credit for that. Like, that's the hard part of Survivor.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's take a question from Mr. John Densford. Just so you know, my dad is watching with me, so bring the fire tonight or he'll look down on my life choices.
Okay. Is it too late?
Shout out to Mr. Densford.
Is it too late for us to bring the fire?
Like, I feel like we brought it.
We're wrapping up, though. You know, now it's like, now I don't know, you know, how can this happen?
All right. Last question. Brian Williams says, was this the best two episodes in a row we've ever seen in Survivor history? Now, I can't imagine that's the case.
Ever seen? I doubt it. I mean, there's probably don't something in Heroes versus Villains. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's so hard. Like, ever seen? My God.
Yeah.
What about, you know, come on, Cambodia. You know, the Thanksgiving episode in Cambodia.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Steven, so let's start to bring this baby home, okay?
Yeah.
So we will, in 1 week from tonight, reconvene for the two-hour episode of Survivor, and we'll get down from 10 to 8. So we're really going to fast forward into the end game. Let me tell you about what's coming up here on the podcast. Who got the fishy tonight? What'd you do?
Carl.
Now,
I was going to give it to all the Davids, and then I thought, well, so I do think there's more questions about the way Nick played. Like, there's more ambivalence. And also, Nick's had plenty of fishies. You know, it was Carl's turn.
Okay, congratulations to Carl. Crack open a cold one and enjoy your fishy this Thanksgiving, Carl. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Sandra Diaz-Twine coming up on our Episode 9 recap. Really looking forward to catching up with Sandra. Of course, if you want to email questions in on good questions only, survivor@robhasawebsite.com. Not asking Sandra any bad questions, you guys. All right. Akiva Winokur is going to be on the RHAP B&B this week. Also, look for Akiva and I as we enter the wizarding world of Harry Potter on episode number 11 of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. So Akiva will be with Mike and Liana this weekend, and then Sophie Clark over the weekend. We'll talk to her. We'll ask her all of your feedback as well. So get those feedback questions in for So Fierce. And of course, Why Blank Law. This will be a good one. Probably a lot of fodder for David and Jessica to get into on why Dan lost. Check it out.
Yeah, Dan had a really big, good game. You know, I mean, he, you know, found two idols, was a huge force throughout the game. And
it was a mixed bag. Because some good, some bad.
Yeah, but he did a lot. You know, and I think, you know, obviously he didn't win, but good on him.
He found idols. Found idols, but really, I think, telegraphed a lot of what he was doing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he was a brochacho.
Yeah, he was a brochacho. And then the exit interview, we will speak with Dan Rengering on Monday. So be on the lookout for that. Cyber Monday is when we will talk with Dan, of course. And speaking of Cyber Monday, be sure to check out our links for Amazon.com. If you're so inclined, you're going to be doing some holiday shopping, go to Amazon.com/shop/RHAP. That is our associate link for Amazon.com. You don't pay any extra, and we get a small commission for your shopping on Amazon.com. And then you can also click on the banners to get there as well on RobHasAWebsite.com. And of course, thanks so much to our wonderful patrons. We're extra thankful for our patrons at Thanksgiving. RobHasAWebsite.com/patron for more information about everything we're doing with the Rob Has a Podcast patron community and all of the added benefits of becoming a Rob Has a Podcast patron, without whom this podcast would not be possible. All right, Steven, what's next for you? What's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
Yeah, candied yams, Rob.
Candied yams. Wow.
Come on.
With the marshmallows.
Oh, you got to have the marshmallows. Oh, yeah.
See, I would have never guessed that.
Really? What do you think? Like, what's yours? What's yours?
I would have guessed that you would like some green beans or some vegetable.
Wow, that's the most insulting favorite Thanksgiving. What do you think of me?
I think that you'd be like, oh, I want to, you know, be really health conscious.
Yeah. What's your favorite? Well, I bet your favorite Thanksgiving food is poop.
Poop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, how does it feel?
Really, damage your reputation as the intellectual on this podcast.
Okay, then you know, Roman poop.
Yeah. Okay. I used to really be more into the turkey and everything, but I kind of feel like, I don't know, maybe it's too many Thanksgivings for me.
Oh, wow. Well, you don't have any favorite food?
No, I mean, I enjoy it, but I used to really, wait for it in terms of the, I really like pumpkin pie.
Yeah. Pumpkin pie. Rob, Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and because it's it's nice. It's like a family time. It's time to be with people you love, and it is time. It's about expressing gratitude. I'm expressing gratitude, and I want to just I want to thank you for being in my life.
Thank you. And it's so nice to have you in my life as well. And I really love it. It's not a lot of like hubbub in terms of like go to the mall, go shopping for all these gifts and everything.
Yeah, not till Friday, not till the day after Thanksgiving.
Right, because I mean the hype for Christmas starts in the beginning of November. There's almost no hype for Thanksgiving.
Yeah. It's just,
I like it. Yeah. Okay. All right. There you go. All right. Stephen Fishback, great work. Follow Stephen Fishback on social media. He is at Stephen Fishback. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Fun Survivor know-it-alls all season long. We'll be back next week after the double episode. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
And a special thanks to True Car for sponsoring tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls. Every car comes with its share of stories. The ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price on your stories now with True Car, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell or trade it in. Just go to True Car and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up, answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof, that will bump up your car's value. High mileage, you already knew it was going to cost you, but now you'll know how much it dings or bings your wallet so you can plan ahead. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out True Car today. True cash offers not available in all areas.